Hello and welcome to WonderPod, episode 21. That's right, we've made it to the vaunted 21. I'm sure the show file will be puking up in a garbage can after it's done recording. Joining me this week, as always, is Gunsage.
Hello!
And Patrick.
What's going on, people? 21!
Woo! Let's get drunk! Again!
Yeah, I was just gonna say, aren't you gonna have to sober up first to get drunk then again, or how's that work?
Pretty much.
Yeah, whatever. Hey, you have a hobby. kidding. What have you been playing this week, Gunsage?
Nothing too out of the ordinary. I've mostly been going ahead and doing Red Dead Redemption. I have Mad World, but I've been procrastinating on playing it more. I don't know why. I picked back up Zack'em Wiki, which is a title I technically bought my daughter, but I'm not picking on her. She was having trouble playing Mario Brothers Wii, so I was like, well, might be a little advanced, so I'll go ahead and play it a little bit more, because it was a game that I rented. I played the first stage, and I was like, oh, okay, that's really cool, and then played whatever else I had rented until I went ahead and took them both back. It's pretty fun. It really is. It doesn't quite remind me of the Monkey Island titles, but it's pretty fun. It's very arcade-like in that it's an adventure game, which is kind of strange. But I can't remember if I've been playing anything else or not. Probably not. I mean, that's mostly it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Patrick, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I finally went out and purchased Left 4 Dead 2. So, G, if you're listening, next time you send me a request to play the game, I can actually accept it this time due to actually owning it. So I wasn't really looking for it, but it was sitting there in Best Buy, brand spanking new, for only $39.99, so it was a good price. And I've been listening to you guys, and I've been listening to G saying how much he likes it and enjoys playing with you guys, so what the heck. I'm glad I waited, though, and I got it at a discount, because believe it or not, I'm not a massive zombie, vampire, undead, whatever fan, like the majority of people are seem to be these days. I do like the game so far. In my opinion, it's just more of the same as Left 4 Dead 1, but that's definitely not a bad thing at all. It's very good. I'm only really early into it. I think I just started the second level or whatever. Not the second act, but just the second level. I'm just figuring out the controls again, but so far so good. So I look forward to partying up with all you guys and G, as long as you guys can tolerate a new shitty player like me. But what else have I been playing? Oh, I downloaded the demo for Split Second. It's a pretty exciting, pretty fast-paced racing game. For those of you who haven't played it, I recommend at least trying the demo on Xbox 360. It's got all sorts of explosions and crashes and near misses and stuff like that. Very arcade-like. It's very fun, fast. The exploding environments are kind of cool. You got to evade things that are falling onto the tracks. Makes the gameplay a little bit different than your regular arcade racing game like Burnout or something like that. I only played the demo 2 times, and after the second try, I really found myself wondering, though, you know, it is a fun game. The destructible tracks are neat, but would it become repetitive after a while? And I'm pretty sure it would, so I think Split Second has Rent Me written all over it. Aside from those two, I've been playing a little more Super Mario Galaxy 2 on my Wii. It's great Nintendo-branded fun, as I said last episode. You know, pick it up if you got a Wii. I'm playing a little bit, of course, of Battlefield Bad Company 2 online with iPinch and Bruce and everybody else. That's about all I've been playing this week.
Let's get the quick ones out of the way. Let's see. Obviously, Battlefield Bad Company. Played a little more 3-on-3 NHL hockey, because I like the little 3-on-3 version. I think that was it as far as the other stuff. And then I bought Red Dead Redemption. And I have to admit, I was a little leery of the title because I'm a fan of the Old West, for one. I read a lot of history books from the Old West. I probably got 20, 25 of them. For two, you know, I suppose, due to my upbringing and background, know a little bit more about horses and cattle and the guns that are used and yada, yada, yada. So I was really expecting that I'd probably enjoy the game. It'd still be a value for $60. But at the same time, I'd get to spend a lot of time chuckling at things that Rockstar just blew or didn't care about because the average gamer would never notice. And you know what? I have to give Rockstar credit. They proved me wrong. From the story to the mechanics of everything to the models and art of the game to the guns that they used, everything else, they did as good a job in video game form as you're ever going to see in a video game that takes place in the Old West and in the early part of the 20th century. I don't think I have been that hooked into a game in a long, long time. I look forward to playing it all the time. And it's a game, you know, most Rockstar games like the GTA series and some of the others really bored me after maybe, I don't know, 5-10 hours of play. I've actually finished through the single player story right now, and I'm just going back around cleaning up other things. It's still just fun to play. There's so much you can do. I played with the multiplayer a little bit, but I really don't want to talk about it. The only two things that I have to say against it are, number one, I really don't care anymore about these checkpoints or you can only save if you do this hokey little animation bullshit. I think we're to the point in gaming and video games where it should just be, I hit start and I save wherever the fuck I want. Save your time from making little stupid animations or, you know, the mission checkpoints are okay, I suppose, because not everybody's going to remember to save. But just in general, when you're roaming, you know, it's just, it's ridiculous and archaic to me. I don't like it. The second thing, and this one's really not so much, it's a complaint against the game, but I just found it hilarious. There are points in the game where you will be shooting at dangerous wildlife, let's say, like a wolf or something like that. You'll kill three or four of them, and you go to interact with them, you know, get off your horse, do whatever the game asks you to do, yada yada. And then all of a sudden, like they were dropped from a helicopter, here come four more at you, like instantaneously spawn. Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. I mean, on multiple fronts. But bottom line is even if you did not like GTA, don't really like that series, didn't like Bully, whatever, Warriors, I highly recommend you pick this game up. It has really, really impressed me, and it's, I have to say, it's my favorite game of the early part of this year and most of the last year. I mean, it really, they really, really did a great job with it. The only other thing I might want to say is I kind of found it funny that set it in 1911, because I swear it's like Rockstar didn't feel comfortable with setting it in an earlier date, because in 1911 historically there was a few types of machine guns, there was a few types of automatic pistols, and the rifles and things were a little more advanced than they were in, say, the true Wild West. So I thought Rockstar was being a little cheesy there so they could hook in some of the modern Halo kiddies and BS, but you know, and that's not even a complaint. I enjoy it too. Overall, I'm impressed. If I was to give it a review, I would never give anything 10 out of 10, but I usually give this game 9 out of 10. Funnily, I have not run into any of these glitches that everybody's talking about. So, like I said, good job, Rockstar. You did well. Anything else to add, Gunsage? Or did, just real quick? Or
I wanted to say you could save anywhere with camp.
Yeah, but see, that to me is stupid. I'm sorry. I just, that's like 90s, you know.
I know.
Oh, I gotta set up a little camp. Here, let me pitch my fucking tent so I can say it now.
I know. I think Rockstar is more console than PC, because even with the original Grand Theft Auto, like the very first one, it was basically an arcade title. And then the second one, they added in the quote-unquote novelty of being able to save, you know, if you had $10,000 lying around in the game, which was
I don't care.
Stupid. I know. They
I don't care about the console or PC mechanic. That has
right.
nothing to do with it.
The
mechanic itself is out of date.
Now.
Yeah, the mechanic itself is out of date.
Yeah.
I mean, this 360 is basically a little goddamn computer.
Yep, exactly.
So, I mean, the fast travel from the camp and all that's fine, you know, but I'm telling you, Patrick, I know I talked to you off the other night when we were playing Battlefield, but don't wait too long on this. It's a blast. I mean, I was shocked how much fun I'm having with it.
If you can get the multiplayer working, from what I've...
I got it working. Okay. I figured it out.
Is there issues with the multiplayer? That's probably what I'd get it for more. It seems everybody, Carlos is on there, you guys are on there, I just saw Glassinator's got it, everybody's pretty much got it, but what's online like? Is it worth getting it, or is it kind of...
It's not bad.
Not bad.
I'm of the opinion, I haven't played, I don't know what Gunsage has played, but I am of the opinion with the multiplayer, if you have that many people, that you get them all in a free roam room, which is like, if you want to look at it, and I kind of told you this the other night, Patrick, it's like the lobby to go into other games and stuff. You could have a lot of fun in just the free roam room. Yeah. Just running around, you know, you could do certain challenges and things that are in free roam. But then at the same time, if there's like enough of us, you could just like, okay, I'll go out in the middle of the desert where there are no other players and then just start blasting at each other, you know. I wouldn't look down on a single player. I'm serious. I think I've played enough video games with you. I think you'd really like it.
I'll probably give it a shot. I was thinking about getting it yesterday, but then that Left 4 Dead 2 is a good price, so I grabbed that instead.
All right, let's move on to the discussion topic. Patrick, why don't you line out the discussion topic and how you want to run it, and we'll let you take it from there.
Okay. Well, it is that time of the year again where gamers, bloggers, anyone interested in video games, really, in general, start getting hyped for E3. While it's been dumbed down, I guess, a little as of late compared to other years when we were younger, E3 is still kind of like the Super Bowl and the Oscars combined for anyone interested in video games. This year looks like there's a lot of hype, a lot of potential from the three big companies. So E3 will be our discussion topic of the week. We are going to go through the three big companies in turn, and I will ask you fine gentlemen what you expect to see from each of them at the show, if you have any predictions, comments, anything about the big three as we go through them in turn. So we might as well start with Sony, and I will go last, so I don't know, Bruce, if you want, or if you're ready, you can go first and then Gunsage afterwards.
Yeah, that'll work. Sony, you know, I haven't heard much on what Sony's E3 lineup is, so I have no, like, cheat. But pulling out my crystal ball, or balls, whichever you prefer, I'm kind of thinking it's going to be all focused on Move and 3D TV. I'm starting to see more television commercials for 3D TV. It has seemed like in the run up to E3 since GDC, God, we're starting to sound like the military, that they are just hell bent to push Move and 3D TV this year. I'm sure Killzone 3 is going to be there, you know, under the Sony banner. My guess would be there's going to be a couple other, you know, game announcements that we weren't expecting. I don't think it'll be anything too over the top, but that's E3, you never know. Really, that's all I got for Sony. Gunsage, what do you think?
I'm telling you, man, Deadly Premonition PS3, game of the year. They could do the whole 3D TV on it. They wouldn't even have to convert the graphics or anything. No, I don't know. I'm kind of handicapped and retarded here, because ultimately, I'm looking at this going, I don't have a PS3 yet. So, I'm kind of like, again, speculatory, but my guess would be pretty much what you said, Killzone 3, things of that nature. I'm trying to think what else is coming out. I'm pretty sure they're doing, aren't they doing a Little Big Planet 2? And I know they just did Modern Nation Racers.
Yeah, Little Big Planet 2, I think, is more 11, but I'm not sure.
Okay. They might still feature that anyway, because I really haven't heard a whole lot lately. You know, honestly, one of the things that I would love to see, but it's more or less just become a Majesco bot name, is another really good, really cartoony, just over the top, don't give a shit, awesome Crash Bandicoot, and have it as a mascot for Sony. I don't think that'll ever happen again, but that's, I don't know, that's my hope. As far as E3 goes, I can't say. I don't even have a Sony console besides the PS2 anymore, so, well, PSP, but you know, that's just because, I don't know.
Patrick.
All right. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and this is probably going to be way off base, but I'm going to predict something that may or not happen at E3, but I think it should happen, especially if you're an investor or a stockholder in Sony. Sony really needs to respond at E3 to the Nintendo 3DS. The PlayStation Portable and the DS pretty much came out at the same time when they were launched. So it's time for the next PSP to be at the very least announced publicly, just to keep up with Nintendo. I don't think there'd be any playable games, and it may still be a work in progress, but I don't know, maybe a screenshots or movies, or hell, just holding up something, a prototype in the air and saying, this is the new PSP, or whatever the hell they want to call it. It's pretty necessary, I think, for them to counter Nintendo's big 3DS presence this year. The PSP was always second fiddle to the DS, really, selling much fewer units and a ton lower rate of software sales, so I'm going to boldly predict that at the very least, some mention of a new Sony portable, you know, will happen, just so that they'll not be outdone by both Nintendo and even the iPad this year. Aside from that, not very interested in the Sony Move. I don't have, just like everybody, we don't have any PlayStation 3s. I'm more interested in seeing what Sony will be, how they will be spinning things in their presentation, just to see how they're going to try to convince people to buy Move when most people already have a Wii. That's about it for Sony. For Nintendo, Bruce, what do you think they're going to do at E3?
And a Nintendo. I think I'll steal, I think it was Control-Alt-Delete, where they showed an E3 Nintendo unveiling, and they had a toaster, and it shows the audience, and they're like, not doing anything. And then Miyamoto says, but it's got the Nintendo brand on it, and then it shows the audience with fistfuls of money going, give me, I'll take a million, da 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 da. I think that's what it's going to be. I mean, no matter what Nintendo announces, there's going to be a certain demographic that's just going to go, I got to have that. You know, if it's a new Wii Fit board that's a foot longer, or that it runs a Wii Fit board that runs for you so your fat ass doesn't have to. You know, I mean, Nintendo really, I don't think they have the burden on them to have some kind of over-the-top E3 presence. I think it all falls on Sony and Microsoft at this point. You know, as far as total market share and the demographic they've gone after and how well they've corralled it, I think it's more Sony and Microsoft's job to start pulling it away from Nintendo. So really, I don't know what, I mean, they'll probably kick out a few games, you know, they'll probably have, maybe they'll have that new Metroid game from Team Ninja, you know, a couple others, but I don't really think Nintendo is going to be the biggest of the three. Guns Age.
I was going to mention Metroid Other M, and then you mentioned it.
Sorry. Popped into my head, and I just went with it.
I can't really think of much else that they're going to mention. I mean, first party-wise, I know they're working on another Zelda title, but when it comes out, I don't know. You know, I don't think it'll be fucking Alan Wake delayed, or even Alpha Protocol delayed, but I don't know. What are the first party titles? You know, there was some speculation a few years back that they were going to go ahead and do another Kid Icarus title. What with the, you know, adding Pit to Super Smash Brothers Melee, and I'm like, or Brawl or whatever it is. I'm like, that doesn't guarantee anything. I mean, they're adding fucking Solid Snake. So are you saying there's going to be another better Solid Snake title? You know, I don't know. Honestly, I'm looking at this and I'm going, I don't think they're going to have much to show, but they're going to go ahead and really trump it up, because that's what they do. I mean, fuck, they trumped up Wii Music, for fuck's sake.
Is there anything you'd like to see them do?
I would absolutely like to see a detailed, you know, presentation, previews, playable demos of Metroid Other M. I would love to see that, because, I mean, I have my misgivings about it. On the one hand, I'm like, well, but Metroid Prime, we were all kind of worried about that when it came out. And it's actually pretty good. It's a pretty good series. You know, it's an offshoot, but it's a pretty good series for being a first-person shooter, especially. And now they're gonna try to go back, and we're all really worried and everything. And I'm like, what? This is what everyone wanted. This is what everyone wanted on Nintendo 64. This is why when we saw Samus Aran on fucking Smash Brothers on, you know, the Nintendo 64, we're like, okay, now make it. And then nobody did, and everybody was pissed off. And then whenever they did, it was first-person shooter, and everyone's pissed off. And I'm like, well, now they're doing what you want. Shut up. So I really do want to see more about that. What would really make me happy is if they somehow upgraded the WiiWare, well, not the WiiWare, because they've already done that, but the Virtual Console to be, like, multiplayer. But I don't think that's going to happen, honestly. I mean, especially if it hasn't happened by now. So I'm looking forward to the Other M, and that's about it.
Patrick, you love bashing Nintendo. Take it away.
I do. I love bashing the Wii. We got to make that clear. I'm very interested in the 3DS, to be honest. The original DS, one of my favorite game machines of all time. I played the hell out of it up until about a year ago when my wife took it from me, and apparently I had to beg to use it again. But I loved its innovation. It was fun, whatever. So all new hardware version of the DS. This isn't like a minor DSi or DS Big or whatever. It's brand new hardware. It's, you know, even with or without the fancy 3D effects, you know, it sparks my interest. We talked about this in other podcasts before in previous episodes. I don't really care about the 3D part at all. Hell, if it turns out to be cool and it works, great. It's another feature that I can enjoy. If not, I still will have all the features of the original DS now taken to the next level. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to what they're going to do with the 3DS. I'm also going to predict that Nintendo speaking of the now to the Wii, they're going to embarrass the hell out of themselves with the Wii Vitality Sensor. And that will be used in one or two games, and only one or two games in its entire friggin' existence for the Wii. Much like the silly crossbow, the dumb Wii wheel, and the idiotic Wii Speak gizmo, that thousands of suckers, they're going to buy this plastic hunk of junk and regret it not very soon afterwards. So what do we got left? Microsoft, which is probably all three of our favorite platform this generation. Bruce, what are your thoughts on Microsoft at E3?
Well, I think they're going to shoot themselves in the foot with a bazooka is what I think is going to happen. They're doing their Natal unveil 2 days, I think 2 days, before the actual E3 show. I think that's going to set the tone. I think when it finally comes out that it's $149, $299 for the Xbox 360 Wii, I think it's gonna ruin anything else they tried to do, because people are just gonna be pissed that it's $149. Now, speaking to that, I can't exactly say where I found this out, but I have a pretty good sense that the $149 is legit. I may have tricked somebody the other day and got them to say more than they shouldn't have. So I got an idea that $149 is the legit price for the Natal. And I think it's just going to color everything Microsoft does, unless they just really have a lot of over-the-top announcements. Now, Valve might save them a little bit, because they're supposedly got some spooky, you know, we don't know what announcement. I have yet to see Half-Life 3 or another Half-Life episode speculation, but Valve yoinked its Portal 2 announcement, and they've got something coming into pipe, so that could help Microsoft. And there's also some rumors running around of Sega Genesis games coming to the XBLA. So Microsoft's got some stuff that could offset the Natal letdown, but I'll have to wait and see. Of all the E3 presentations, if it's streaming, I'm going to watch the Natal one just to see how it does, and just to see kind of what the reaction is afterwards. Other than that, it's hard to say. Microsoft usually does a pretty good job, even if it's all hype and no substance. Microsoft usually does a pretty good job, so I'll be interested to see what they pull out of the hat. Gunsage.
Honestly, at this point, Microsoft could pretty much just say, Microsoft, we're not Apple, we're not the Wii, and we're not the PS3. Buy our shit. And people would buy their shit. I really don't know of anything that they would be explicitly promoting beyond the Natal, and that I just do not give a shit about. I've got a Wii. I mean, if the Natal works out, fine. But look, I worked 5 years as security. I'm looking at this and I'm going, it's a motion sensor. It's a motion sensor. Those things don't even work half the time. And when they do work, they're not going to go ahead and pick up on the same fucking thing over and over again. You know, they're trying to go ahead and pitch these commercials where this kid holds up a skateboard and goes, object scanning. And then, holy shit, it's got the skateboard in its memory. No, it doesn't work like that. If it's really that sophisticated, then I guess we're a little more advanced than I thought. But I don't think so, especially if it's just a motion sensor. I'm looking at this and going, Microsoft, you're trying to be the Wii. You're trying to be the Wii. You are trying. That's it. That's all you're trying to do. Be the Wii. And don't get me wrong, okay, the Wii's had success with, you know, grandmothers, soccer moms, and babies. But other than that, you know, you've got a relatively large crowd here that you've been doing a pretty good job with. My question is, why? Why do you need to pander to these people? The Nintendo has these people. There's no reason to go ahead and do this. Your product is actually going to cost more than a brand new Wii now. So what's the point? I do not get it, especially since most of your games are $60 brand new, and the Wii aren't, and they can afford to do that because their games aren't quote-unquote cutting edge. I don't get it. I don't.
Well, I tend to think you're correct. Motion sensing and IR tech has come a long way in 5 years. I've got a really cool motion sensing camera. It's called a game camera that we got my dad for Christmas. I was pretty impressed with what it can do, but it still misses things too. So I think the tech's a little better, but I don't think it's going to be quite as mind-blowing. I'm kind of in your camp on that. I don't think it's going to be quite as mind-blowing as Microsoft would like you to think it is. So we'll have to see. Patrick.
Well, I'm pretty interested and optimistic to see what Natal really is about. I know they're going to change the name of that pretty soon, probably a good idea. If it actually works out, I would probably buy it, but I think that if it lives up to its hype, it could be more interesting way of playing games than the Sony Move will be, because that's basically, the Move is an exact copy of the Wii, whereas this seems a little different, but I still need to be convinced, and I think at $149.99, I need to be really convinced. I'll more than likely buy it even at that high price point if it offers something new, fun, or innovative, but that's a very big if at the moment, so I'm still hopeful. I'm sure it'll be bundled with something from Rare, like Wii Sports or something like that, basically a copy of the Wii. Aside from Natal, I predict a massive amount of hype for three exclusive Xbox 360 titles. Gears of War 3 will have a lot of hype, I'm thinking, at E3 this year. Hopefully some actual gameplay footage would be kind of cool. Fable 3 will be hyped the hell out of, I'm sure. What's his name? Peter Molyneux will come on and bore the crap out of everybody and say that it's the greatest thing ever. But it'll be, I'm interested in Fable 3 a little bit. I'll definitely give it a shot. It also has that rumored Natal. It works with Natal, so I'm sure they'll really hype that. And finally, the third game that they'll have, they'll hype up, is probably Halo Reach. And I predict that single-player footage will be playable on the floor. That's about all for the three big companies.
There's always stuff we don't see coming, you know. And I mean, we're going to get a little more in the news on E3 and all that. But I think overall, we've probably covered what we're going to see, you know. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. So if you gentlemen are ready, let's move on to the news. The first news story, Rockstar skipping E3, rumored to have canceled announcement. This comes to us from 1UP. Just about the entire industry will be at E3 in a couple of weeks, except for, evidently, Rockstar. The company has revealed that they'll be skipping E3 this year, instead deciding to show off the latest progress on Max Payne 3 and the long-in-development L.A. Noire at their own demos in the coming weeks, in quotes. In the end, we feel we simply don't have enough time to show as much as we would like in the time available, said Rockstar spokesman to CVG about their decision to skip E3. They gave no specific indication about just how soon after E3 they'll be ready to show off their latest builds of both Max Payne and L.A. Noire, the latter of which has been in development since 1970, and still hasn't had a significant public showing. That's because there's nothing to show. On top of Rockstar's decision to skip E3, there's also a rumor that they were planning a new game announcement at the show that has now been canceled. VGA247 reports that Roy Buckenridge, associate editor of UK publication Nuts, tweeted that Rockstar has pulled their E3 game launch. It's kind of moot point now, but with Rockstar electing to not have E3 presence at all, whether they actually did have a game announcement plan may never be known. My question to you, gentlemen, is this actually they weren't ready for E3, or are they pulling a we're better than the industry, we're going to do it ourselves because we're fucking Rockstar, Pat?
Oh, I think they're not ready. It is a little surprising that they're skipping E3, but maybe they're not telling us the whole story. They probably not. Maybe they don't have a good demo for Max Payne 3 made up yet, or the new game they were going to announce isn't ready to be shown just yet. They might actually need those few extra weeks that they're talking about, which will probably turn into a few extra months, to make the games a little more presentable. I'm in the minority here, but honestly, I don't care that much personally. I'm not a big fan of Rockstar games to begin with. Never really liked GTA at all, but I do hear Red Dead Redemption, as you guys have said, is really good. This news will disappoint a lot of gamers, but I'm just not one of them. I don't think it's the time allocated. I think they're just not ready with their games, personally.
Golden Sage, you've been looking forward to L.A. Noire. Any news about it? What is this due to you?
Oh, I've absolutely been looking forward to L.A. Noire. I jizzed all over myself whenever the Game Informer had it on the front cover and everything. To be completely honest, I'm pretty much right alongside Pat. At the moment, I don't think Rockstar is really working on anything else, at least not that they may be publicly aware. Now, the bad news is, if they have more to reveal, this is a dumb move on their part. Because I go, well, okay, you could at least have screenshots or some shit like that if you had something besides these two titles that you've been quote-unquote publicly working on. But beyond that, I'm looking at this and going, I don't think they think they're too good for the industry. It would be funny if they thought that. And I say funny in a way that they're not. I mean, you know, come on. Fucking, it was like a subsidiary of Sony, I think, that did God of War. If they seriously went ahead and said, you know what, we're too good for E3. We're gonna let this slide. Then when God of War came out, it would have been a sleeper hit, which, that's not a bad thing. But at the same time, it's like, okay, but, you know, it's kind of like Katamari Damacy. It was a sleeper hit, too. We Love Katamari was a good game, too. And then Beautiful Katamari, it was okay. And it started a trend, and I understand. But the point is that it probably could have done a lot better if it was more publicly known before it came out. If it was, you know, people were like, oh shit, guys, this is actually a really good game. You gotta follow this. You gotta check this stuff out. But no, you know, nobody knew about it. It was a sleeper hit. The problem with Rockstar games is they're not meant to be sleeper hits. They're meant to be in your fucking face. You're supposed to know about them months in advance and get all hyped up and all kinds of bullshit. So I'm looking at this and going, you're doing one of two things. You're doing the smart thing by being honest and saying, we don't have anything right now. This is all we've got. We don't have anything ready for it yet. Give us some time. Or they're being really fucking stupid and trying to say, well, we don't have anything, but really they have all this shit planned for their own little conference, at which point they're motherfucking Apple.
See, I think it's the latter. Here's the thing. I've always felt this way, even way back in the day when they were Epic Mega Games. I've always felt that Cliffy B and Rockstar, it's getting worse, you know, has gotten worse in the last few years, have felt they are bigger than the industry. Like they're some kind of superstars. Whether they do or not is irrelevant, but that's just the sense and feeling I get. And I think because the GTA series has gotten so much controversial publicity, and, you know, whether from Hot Coffee or Jack Thompson screaming about it, and now Red Dead Redemption just selling lights out, I personally think that Rockstar's got it, and they just want to try and circumvent E3, you know? Maybe there's some kind of little feud going on behind the scenes, you know, E3's always kind of been a little controversial, they've done some things in the past that have made developers, publishers, the media, gamers, and this and that not too happy. So, I'm really kind of in the other camp from you guys. I think this is a publicity stunt. I think Rockstar knows how to work publicity. And I suppose at the end of the day, I don't have a problem with it. It is a marketing game, but I get a little bit annoyed when any one company or developer or personality seems to start thinking, at least sends off signals that they're thinking they're bigger than the industry. But who knows? I mean, either any of us have a chance of being right. I just found this very curious because, like you pointed out, Gunsage, you know, L.A. Noir has been in production for so long that it could end up a sleeper hit, like you said, you know, so it could use some E3 love, you know. So if they're going the route of, you know, we're a rock star, we're going to do whatever the hell we want, yeah, it might bite them. Max Payne 3, yeah, I'm sure it's got some fans since it's the third installment in the franchise. Just have to wait and see. We'll see a few weeks or whatever they delay it off until after E3, but time will tell. Okay, next story is, and this one, I found it a little interesting. I got it from Eurogamer. COD Black Ops multiplayer preceded campaign. Treyarch's Josh Olin has said that multiplayer in Call of Duty Black Ops was underway so early that the single-player guys have been using multiplayer assets to speed up production. We've had a dedicated team working on that since day one. Olin, who is Treyarch's community manager, told IGN about the online side of the game. Let me put it in perspective for you. We've had multiplayer started and up and running in the project so early that some single-player levels actually are being built around the multiplayer maps that we had in production. So it's not the other way around, he said, referring to accepted wisdom that multiplayer tends to follow single player. It's not single player maps being brought into multiplayer, it's multiplayer being brought into single player, yada yada yada. That's pretty much, you know, it. They give a synopsis of the game. My question to you, gentlemen, I'm not sure I like this trend. They're trying to further hamstring the single player experience in favor of multiplayer, and it's probably not a good trend for the game. Agree or disagree, Patrick?
It's hard to say until we see the finished product. They could very well be doing that. They could be focusing mostly on the multiplayer. I hope not, because Treyarch's single player wasn't as good as Infinity Ward's single player. But in a way, I'm actually glad that they're taking the multiplayer so seriously, spending so much time on it. It's a good thing, if you think about it, in some ways, to be spending all this time, all this effort on what most gamers, including ourselves, will probably be spending most of our time and most of our effort on. As far as gameplay goes, it's not a bad idea if you only have a limited amount of resources. Using multiplayer maps for the single-player campaign, you're right, it's a bit cheap, I guess, and it sounds like they're almost, I don't know, cutting away from the single-player experience. But if they're all well-made and relevant to the story, I guess why not? I hope the single-player mode is as good as the multiplayer mode is being shown off to be in this article. We won't have too much to worry about the so-called B-team of the Call of Duty franchise if this is true. Hope it all works out in the end, but I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I know what you're saying, and it sounds like maybe they are going to be skipping out on single player, but at the same time, as someone who's played a ton of Call of Duty games, I spend most of my time online, so maybe in the long run, it's a good thing that they're spending most of their time making online better.
Gunsage, you concerned about this killing out the single player experience, or do you care?
Absolutely. To be completely honest, I mean, you know me. I'm mostly an RPG guy anyway. I look at single player as, you know, the way to go for games. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, so you're basing shit around multiplayer maps, designing them for single player, almost as if the single player really doesn't matter, but we're going to go ahead and throw it in anyway. You know what? That's kind of the gist that I got from Modern Warfare 2, except they put enough budget into it. Enough shit. Enough voice acting. Enough everything else. And I'm like, okay, I'll buy into it. I don't think you completely went ahead and worked on the multiplayer and then threw in a single player at the last second. But I'm looking at this and I'm going, so basically, this is Team Fortress 2 if they wanted a single player mode also. And, okay, it could still be epic. Because multiplayer maps, you know, Doom Wads, shit like that, they've been known to be really awesome. But that's not the point. The point is, when you design something for a single player perspective, you're designing it from the perspective of, okay, so you're going to go down this path, and this is what you're going to encounter on this path. It's like, it's almost like designing a haunted house of sorts. You know, you're trying to design interesting shit for the gamers to go ahead and interact with, deal with, get shocked by, things of that nature, cutscenes, all this. And, you know, even if they're interactive and whatever, you're still designing an experience for them. It literally is a ride. Just without being a rail shooter. But when you design it around a multiplayer map, it's like, well, the multiplayer map is designed from the perspective of, well, there are certain strategies you need to maintain in order to beat this map. In other words, they're designed in a way that it's almost like a Disgaea map. There's multiple ways you can tackle a certain objective. You know, it's not like you're going to have to go down this path that's winding and has all this shit going on with it. No. You've got multiple paths. They're deliberately opened up so that you can capture the flag. You can get around your people. You can flank shit. All this. While that's a little more realistic, it doesn't add much to the story, which tells me the story is going to be either bullshit or something. I mean, either way, I think the multiplayer is going to be awesome, which is great. That'll certainly add to the game. But as far as the single player experience goes, I think it's going to just terribly suffer.
I'm not sure how this is going to play out, but it made me disturbed enough and paranoid enough to bring it up, obviously, on the show. Here's how I look at shooters. $30 worth of value for the single player, $30 worth of value for the multiplayer. Battlefield Vietnam basically was no single player. You could play on the maps, the multiplayer maps against bots. I did not buy that first day purchase. I bought it when it was 10, 15 bucks, and I played against bots because I want some kind of single player experience. Maybe split it half and half, so a little bit pushy, but I don't want just a tacked on single player experience. If you want to just throw out a multiplayer, call it Call of Duty, then fine. Charge $40 for it, $30 for it, and do that. And then all the little Twitch kitties and all the little glitchers and all the little hammerheads that want to do that can go do it. But I'm probably not going to bite. I'll go find a first-person shooter that has a good single-player experience. You know, I'm a little bit irritated because Treyarch, up until this story popped up into my radar, had really had me interested in Call of Duty Black Ops. I'm still really interested in it, but I'm a little concerned that this is going to be a continuing trend in within another 2 or 3 years, maybe far less, we'll just have tacked on single player experiences to keep gamers like us happy, you know, and they'll hope like hell that doesn't hurt their sales too much, you know, which with the way most of the consumer base is mindless sheep for the most part, it might not hurt their sales. We'll have to wait and see, you know. Treyarch's really got an opportunity here to, as Patrick put it, no longer be the B team. You know, I've heard people, even hell at my local GameStop, talking about they're looking forward to it, at least looking forward to a demo to see what Treyarch does now that Infinity Ward's imploded or whatever you want to call it. So time will tell, but it's not a trend I'm positive about, and it doesn't sound like neither are you gentlemen. All right, our next story, kind of pushing it a little bit, but it pissed me off because it's well, you'll see. It comes from Kotaku. Its headline is CIA drone killings could lead to a PlayStation mentality towards killing. Dun dun dun. A United Nations investigator is warning that CIA controlled remote drone assassinations of suspected Islamic terrorists could lead to a PlayStation mentality towards killing. Philip Alston, UN special rapporteur on extrajudicial executions, has issued a 29-page report calling for an end to the he's calling for an end, you know, oh my god, they're stationed thousands of miles away and they're killing people and yada da 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 pa 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 pa. That's basic UN report. Oh my god, they're not doing what we want. It's the CIA, so we gotta land on them. It continues to go on and on about how it's horrible, and he makes the comment, this Alston gentleman, because operators are based thousands of miles away from the battlefield and undertake operations entirely through computer screens and remote audio feed, there is a risk of developing a PlayStation mentality to killing, he said, referring to the popular Sony video game. There's no doubt in anyone's mind that controlling a remote drone via video screen is a great deal like playing a video game. We ran a story last year about a 19-year-old drone pilot who attributed his success to his days playing Xbox. Perhaps one day we'll see young people who are remotely controlling military vehicles without even knowing they're doing so, a la Orson Scott Card's science fiction novel, Ender's Game, yada yada. It goes on, the final thing is this, Alston's report raises a lot of questions. Does the fact that you're so far removed from actual combat make the killing easier? Should any government have the power to kill a group, person or group of people from the other side of the planet? Those questions and more will be pondered by the UN Human Rights Council, who does nothing, today, where Alston will be presenting his report. Here's my thing. If I had told you that was from Fox News, that's where you'd have thought it was from. Hell, if I could have photoshopped it to be from Fox News. This has no business, let me back up. I'm wanting to rant, and I'm not going to yet. Does this, a story like this, because the word PlayStation mentality is in there, have any business being on a gaming blog at all? Because it sure as hell doesn't seem like it does to me. Patrick.
No, not really. I think it was maybe Games Politics or something like that might be the only place to put this. It's a bit strange. Did you have something you wanted to say, or are you waiting till afterwards, or?
I'll wait.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll wait.
I think you gotta look at this, I don't know, in a funny kind of way, because you're right, Bruce, you're 100% correct. This doesn't need to be covered in a video gaming blog. You know, he talks about PlayStation mentality of killing, right? Well, I guess it's better than, you know, to take this on the more humorous side, it's better than having a Wii mentality towards killing. I mean, imagine watching a drone plane waggling all over the place in the sky and got some little old lady in a military base using motion controls to lead the attack, or an Xbox mentality of killing, you know? Is that going to be any better? Watch the drone plane fly up in the sky, three red lights, and then it crashes to the ground. I don't know. Game machines are dangerous in the wrong hands. What exactly is a PlayStation mentality? I don't know. It's kind of a weird article. I think you're 100% right. It really didn't need to be in a video game blog.
Gunsage, you think the same thing, or what's your take?
Well, this is the way I look at it. So, okay, I don't know a whole lot about post-traumatic stress disorder, formerly known as shell shock. This is what I do know. So, okay, these guys are away from the battlefield, and all they really have to do is press a button. There's happy little graphics that they have to go ahead and shoot. Bye-bye, you're all dead. If you really want to go ahead and take it back to retro, you can say fucking war games. And in fact, you could even go ahead and say things before that if you really wanted to dig. The way I look at it, though, is I'm looking at it and going, you know, a separation from the battlefield is a two-edged sword. On the one hand, they don't feel remorse for for their actions. On the other hand, they don't feel remorse for their actions. These people are still able to go ahead and not only contribute to society when they get out of the military, but continue contributing for the military without feeling bad about what they're doing, regardless of what the reasons were for why they were doing it. I've never been in the military, so my perception is very skewed on this. But I'm looking at this and going, okay, they're basically doing what we're doing, except it's happening in real life. But to them, it's kind of a simulation, you know? And I'm looking at it and I'm going, is that a bad thing? You know, if I was down there on the battlefield, I couldn't say that I would operate like I do in battlefield. God, I hope not. Shit, I get killed 20 times a game. But, I look at it and I go, is this really a bad thing? In this scenario, we're looking at these soldiers who don't even have to enter the battlefield at all. They're probably miles away controlling this shit via satellite mostly, and they're still getting the job done without nearly as much trauma. And I'm looking at this and going, I don't see a problem with it. I mean, to be completely honest, they're getting the shit done without the unfortunate psychological after effects, hopefully. Unfortunately, if we become a more pussy nation, then yes, we will have more psychological effects from, oh my god, I set that man on fire with a taser! After going ahead and playing Siphon Filter, which at which point I'll just shoot myself in the head and hopefully 100 people will die from watching the video on YouTube.
Right, but the question was, does this belong on Kotaku?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, but I also wanted to know if you thought, yeah. And that's my thing. Kotaku, listen, Crescenti and your fucking hair palace, you're not Fox News. You're not CNN. This is bullshit. I don't want it on a gaming blog. Oh, what? They said PlayStation mentality, so we're going to put it in a gaming blog. You're idiots. You're almost as big of idiots as the UN. I mean, oh, what? We're the only ones that use drones? Oh, yes, the PlayStation mentality. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, horrible. Ever heard of fighter pilots? Ever heard of bomber pilots? Ever heard of shit everybody short of helicopter pilots and A-10 pilots? Oh, wait, what? You have heard of those? They don't feel any remorse either. They never see the people they blow into a zillion pieces. Jesus, the UN would do anything to make the US look like the bad guy. Well, that's enough political ranting. Bottom line is Kotaku, bad Kotaku, no goddamn donut. You shouldn't have put this on the blog. It has nothing to do with gaming. Just cannot believe that you're that hurting for news before E3. You know, go find out what Sterling ate for lunch. Next story. Next story. Oh, it's an Apple story. Now, we will say up front, in a sense of full disclosure, none of us are huge Apple fans, but at the same time, I don't think any of us hate them. Still, this story amused the shit out of me. Steve, Foxconn plant, a pretty nice place. Now, what you need to know beforehand is Foxconn is a manufacturing plant that manufactures Apple products in China. Remember the word China. Speaking at the All Things Digital Conference this week, Apple CEO Steve Jobs described the Foxconn facility in China, where 10 workers jumped to their deaths, that's now 11, and one died after working a 34-hour shift, as a pretty nice place. Jobs defended the condition at the plant, saying that it's not a sweatshop, but did concede that the recent tragedies at the plants were troubling. Here's a quote. You go in this place, and it's a factory, but my gosh, they got restaurants and movie theaters and hospitals and swimming pools. For a factory, it's pretty nice, he said. Apple says that it, like other companies that use the Chinese manufacturing company to make products and components, is closely monitoring the plant's practices. For its part, Foxconn recently raised the salaries of workers by some 20%. Some reports suggest 30%. And other published reports are saying that Apple is rumored to be implementing some sort of plan that would give workers direct compensation. The rumored figure is about 1 to 2% of the retail price of the products manufactured, which seems a bit high to me. Still, anything to bring the salaries of workers at Foxconn up is a good thing. The average worker makes right about $132 USD a month. That's right, folks. Foxconn has defended its treatment of workers and given the media tours of its main facility, the Longhuyu facility factory complex in Shenzhen, to show off sports facilities, dormitories, and conditions on the production lines. The company has also brought in Buddhist monks and psychiatric help to provide counseling and has installed nets on the buildings designed to catch people who jump. Yada, yada, yada. Here's the thing. Why is Steve Jobs being this stupid? It's manufactured in China. We know. I mean, they even talk about down here that shifts that might might last as long as 36 hours, and some workers stand for up to 12 hours in a working line. It's China. They don't have the laws and regulations we do. I mean, do these companies like Apple think we're this stupid to not understand that they're having their pretty products that we buy manufactured in a sweatshop? I mean, you know, my question is, gentlemen, Patrick, you go first. Should Steve Jobs have just kept his damn mouth shut, or what do you think?
Well, he definitely should just kept his mouth shut. If anything, he should have had one of his PR guys glaze over it and him personally not say a word. You know, with your eyes closed, life is better. You know, what exactly, he said something around the lines of pretty nice place.
For a factory, it's pretty nice, he said.
Pretty nice place to commit suicide, apparently. As you said, many factories are just absolutely terrible in China. The conditions are ridiculous. The pay is terrible. These people have nowhere else to work. If they don't do this, their families, their mothers, whoever, will have no money. So the terrible conditions, but the labor is dirt cheap for Apple and the products get out fast. So many Western companies, including Apple, they have no problem dealing with them as long as it's out of sight and out of mind. As long as they don't see what's happening, or more importantly, the public doesn't see what's happening, they apparently don't mind because their bottom line is a lot lower doing this in China. I think, you know, they were given a tour, right? Well, obviously they're not going to show them all the crappy places, and the people maybe have had coffee breaks for the first time ever when there was a tour, you know? He should have kept his mouth shut. I think everyone knows the realities down there. It's really hard to justify it, but I hate to say it, it's not going to stop me from buying an iPad. Oh, I'm a jerk.
Gunsage, should Jobs have kept his pie hole shut and tried to pretend that China isn't an evil place with sweatshops?
Sir, are you guys familiar with the Japanese term karoshi?
No.
Death by overwork. At least in Japan, anyway, there is a terminology where literally motherfucker will go to work for 12 hours or longer, have a designated residential sleeping area at work, get up, and then go back to work. Now, number one, the main reason why is because of the ridiculous amount of subway fare that is required. I mean, we've all seen the YouTube videos of them, like, shit packing everyone on those goddamn subway trains. But it's ridiculous. I mean, if I understand the yen conversion correctly, it's like $30 or some shit for a one-way trip on the goddamn subway train. So, especially if you're not making that much money, and you usually are not in Japan, I'm looking at that and going, that's fucking ridiculous. And I don't even know what conditions are like in China, because I keep hearing that they're actually worse in China. So I'm like, oh, well, Jesus Christ. So I look at this and I go, I'm not surprised. I'm really not. I mean, especially if it's like, you know, some kind of China factory or some shit like that. It's bullshit. It really is bullshit. There's very little that's going to change about that, though. The thing that really catches me is Apple being a quote-unquote progressive company, at least on the surface, is trying to go ahead and say that these, you know, factories are, oh, they're so good, and they have these restaurants. And I'm thinking, yeah, they have restaurants full of food they probably can't afford. So they're basically buying their money back, you know. Maybe they don't even have a real paycheck. Maybe they get paid in quid dollars or some bullshit, and you can buy all this food for quid dollars and all this, and you don't have to go back home. And why don't you invite your family over here so they can work when they don't have to be even 3 years old. They can start working immediately. I look at this and go, it's just very underhanded. And I really shouldn't be surprised in this day and age. I guess I'm more surprised it's coming from Apple, if anywhere. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Here's the two things. First off, I love this because it you know, like Gunsage said, you know, Apple's tried to make this perception of themselves that they're progressive and kumbaya and green and all this. And yet the dirty little secret is they use the same Chinese sweatshops that Microsoft uses, that Sony uses, that Nintendo probably uses, that every manufacturer over here uses. And that begs the question, well, why do they do it? Well, it's really simple. Even even if you discount the fact that China is a communist regime, they are probably developmentally 100 to maybe 150 years behind the U.S., Canada, Western Europe, yada, yada. These conditions that these factory workers are enduring, and it's horrible, there's no two ways about it, are no different than they were here in the U.S. 100 years ago, maybe slightly more, maybe 120. It's a natural evolution of a country. You throw on top of that the communist government, who is going to make these factory tours look like the happiest thing in the world, and you got a problem. Thing is with all the governmental and environmental regulations here in the U.S. and Canada and Western Europe, companies are going to go manufacture there. It's cheaper. Companies are in business to make money. Whether you like that or don't like that, whether that's fair or unfair, that's what they're in business to do. What I find so much more disgusting about this is that Jobs thinks we're this stupid. That he thinks that we're just going to go, okay, Steve, you said it's great there. You know, when people are chucking themselves off the roof worse than the last stock market crash. Yeah, I mean, I just hope that not too many people have bought this bullshit. I guess that's the only thing I can hope. You know, I mean, doing something about China and their sweatshops, I don't think we're going to get much done there. I just hope that people think a little more about Apple as a company before they go ahead and buy their products. You know, I'm like Pat. I'm a jerk. Made in China. Don't give a shit. I want me an iPad. I want me an iPod Touch. Whatever. You know, but don't get handed this bullshit that Apple's progressive and this and that. You know, they're just the same as Microsoft and the rest of them, you know, but bad boy Jobs, you should have just left it. Patrick had it right. Should have trotted out the PR team, sing Kumbaya with a broken guitar or whatever, or had him pull a Jeff Jarrett and hit the reporters over the head with the guitar. You know, but just a little amusing note from the Apple world. Our last story, and this is really, it's pretty much yes or no. If you didn't hear, Rare's signature R logo has been redesigned. I'm trying to to mark the 25th anniversary of Rare as a company. They go on to list here a bunch of games they've done. My point is, after I read this story at GiantBomb.com, Jeff Gertzman's place, I went, okay, so they redesigned their logo because it doesn't mean that much to me. And I've played a lot of Rare games. But then I started kind of cruising around some forums and the sewers of the internet, and I saw all these people flipping out because Rare redesigned their logo. And then I got to thinking about it, and I went, well, maybe I'm in the minority here. So my point, gentlemen, after all that, is, Patrick, does this disturb you as a longtime Nintendo consumer that Rare redesigned their logo, or am I not in the minority?
Well, it doesn't really matter too much. However, I'm looking at the new logo right now, and it really looks crap. You know, it looks like something someone in high school could have done for the title page of their PowerPoint presentation. The old gold R, and whether it said Rareware on it back on the N64 days, or whether now it just was Rare, it was a symbol of a company that was once awesome. The new logo looks like crap, but it's not going to change my whole opinion on everything. I mean, it's just a logo. If Nintendo changed their logo from their famous logo, it's not like it's going to affect me very much. It's a pretty generic looking logo. Maybe that's why people are getting pissed. I don't know.
Did you click on the other colors and stuff? It looks a little better down on the bottom with some other designs and colors.
I don't know. I got where's the other stuff? I have the main one here.
All the way down at the bottom.
All the way down.
Right before the comments.
Yeah, I see it. They're just Rare with white and gray, that one there, you mean? Or
no, there's one with pink and one with purple and one with green.
All better, but it doesn't really.
I mean, if you still think that way, I wanted to point it out in case you know, it's like, yeah. Oh, wait, that does look okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But I like the first one better. There's nothing wrong with this one, I suppose. It still has the R up in the right-hand corner, but I don't know. I was a massive fan of Rare in the good old days, but that doesn't mean, you know, if they had a different logo, I still would have liked their games. It's not the same company as we know. I'm not going to get into this as it used to be, but so maybe changing the logo is a good thing. I'm not affected by it either way, and I'm a massive fan of Rare.
Gunsage. Do you care when a company changes its logo due to nostalgic reasons, or am I not as screwy as I thought?
Honestly, I look at this and I go, the new logo is shit. I mean, it has remnants of the old logo. It does. It's got a hex, and the the half R thing. Oh, but it's not that big. For Rare, no, it's not that big of a deal, especially because they didn't originally have a logo. I mean, they were making stuff for the NES, like, what was it? Captain Skyhawk, Snake Rattle and Roll, and a bunch of other games, which are actually pretty good, but they never really had a logo. And it really didn't matter back then. But, you know, when they become more popular with GoldenEye and a couple of other things, that's when they made the logo. You know, the whole, it's a blue background and a spinning golden half R thing. We better shut the fuck up and pay attention. But I'm looking at this and I'm going, it's not that big of a deal. It's a stupid redesign. Honestly, and yet I can't say I'm completely dismissive of it, because where Rare went wrong, I think Konami went fucking wrong. Konami had, or Konami, or what, however the fuck you pronounce it, had the whole, you know, wavy yellow and red line flag thing for the longest time, and then only recently did they have the almost kunai red fucking thing with Konami across it. And that's it. That's all of it. And I'm like, that's not inventive. That's not interesting. That's not anything. That's not, you know, back in the day, you could just show the logo. You wouldn't even need to say Konami. You'd just be like, look at this fucking logo. Holy shit! That's it. That's all you'd have to do. That's it. I mean, it was almost like going ahead and showing Mario on something, or showing Mega Man on something, or something like that. You would instantly know what company it was. You know, and for Konami, they did so many different things that it was like, if you showed a Belmont on a cover, it's like, well, who the fuck is that? Some guy with a whip? Could it be? Is it? And then you'd have the little wavies, and like, holy shit, it's a Castlevania game. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, at this point, you lost me. You don't have the wavies anymore. That's just me. I mean, I'm looking at this, I'm going, it's not that big of a deal, honestly. It's a fucking hex with the half R. It's not that big of a deal. Rare shouldn't have changed their logo, in my opinion, but it's not going to kill any sales for them or anything.
So you fall a little bit into the nostalgia cap, because the Konami logo being changed didn't matter a hill of fucking shit to me either, along with this Rare one. But you do, with certain companies, though, would you say that you do fall a little bit into the should have just left that alone category?
Kinda, yeah.
Okay. I just was curious. I really have no opinion about this. I get nostalgic about certain things, but I guess for me it was always, like you're talking about with Castlevania, I'd read what kind of game it was. I never looked at who made it. It wasn't until I started writing a little bit about games and doing this that I really even looked at who was making shit. You know, I mean, I'd read the box and all that, so I never really got concerned about logos and how they looked and this and that. But you give me a sense, again, Sage, of why I'm seeing some of the, oh my god, I mean, the ones that are kind of what you're saying, you know, you're kind of your level of, well, why did you change it? Fairly rational. They're okay. The ones that were flaming idiots about it, it's about like I figured, you know. It's not that big a deal, but kind of makes you want to scratch your head and wonder why. That has been news. Gentlemen, let's move on to Gamerdick. Anybody got any Gamerdicks? Gamerdicks, Gamerdicks.
Gunsage, got one?
No.
I sort of do. It's more like a gamer group of dicks, or a gamer army, really.
Okay.
Not a specific person. I was playing Battlefield Bad Company 2 with Chris earlier this week, aka iPinch, who actually just talked to me today about episode 20, and he said we did a good job, so thank you, Chris. We were in a game of invasion in Battlefield Bad Company 2, and at first, it was pretty good. We had a really good team at first. We had a random squad mate. He stuck with us. He became a medic when he noticed we weren't. It was really good. Then we went into another game, and we must have got booted from one of the best teams to one of the worst teams ever. As you know, Invasion, I think that's what, not Invasion, sorry, Invasion's from Halo. What's the one where you're?
Rush.
Sorry about that. Oh gosh. I got my game types mixed up. Yep, Rush.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Rush, you're either defending or you're attacking. And in this particular instance, we were the attackers. We had a full team of 12 people whose objective for the entire game is to take control points, where you blow them up, basically, right? So iPinch and I were playing. It's that one where you got to go across a bit of a lake and get to the middle island and then move on. And we kept getting killed. I mean, we kept getting up there and getting killed. And eventually, we turned around. And, like, I actually noticed this. I was like, so iPinch, where the hell is everyone? There's 12 people on our team. You'd think we'd bump into one of our teammates trying to get the same objective as ours. we turn around and we count 10 snipers. Everyone in the game except for myself and Ipinch were snipers way, way, way far away, have nothing to do with the objective, and basically they just watched as we kept going there, getting killed, and they did nothing. So to that entire team, you are a bunch of dicks. Play the game as it's supposed to be played, or switch to something else.
I mean, it is a dick behavior, but you just got the classic Battlefield clusterfuck.
Yep.
I remember a game we were playing, what's today called Conquest, you know, Capture the Flag. And it was me and some guys from the old, Project Wonderboy forums back in the day on the original Battlefield. We had that same thing happen to us. But what made it, I'm pretty sure I know where those guys were standing, and at least they could shoot at the enemy for you. You know, it's still a dick behavior, but at least they were in range of the enemy. The funnier one of this behavior I saw, and thankfully it hasn't happened to me yet in bad company, was in this map, you started out down in a valley, and you had to climb this big old hill and go down to another valley to get the first map. And a big old hill and down to another valley to get the second point, right? Me and the three other guys from PW were... Brid rode in on a vehicle of some kind, and we're like, where's the rest of our crew? You know, because the game before, we'd all been capturing flags and stuff. And so I'm like, I'll tell you what, I'll go back to base and see what the heck's going on, because we could see little, you know, dots there. They were guarding the one base, all up in towers, like hiding behind the vehicles, and they were all snipers. And I'm standing there on a hill looking down at them, and it's like, they couldn't even hit the enemy if they tried. Like, one of them in the original Battlefield, when it got modded to Desert Combat, you could fire... Oh, actually, even in the original, you could fire artillery. And, of course, voice communication was pretty early then. You could fire artillery at the enemy if you knew where they were. One guy was even sitting on an artillery piece, and it's like, we can't talk to him. We can't tell him where they're at. So that whole entire team was, like, sitting there. So yours is still a bigger gamer dick, but I just wanted to make you feel a little better by saying that's kind of been a constant in the Battlefield series.
Really annoying.
Yeah, we had that kind of happen the other night when we were actually winning, when it was just you and I. We had, like, three or four there at one point. We were playing Rush as attackers.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've been guilty of it, but, yeah, my policy on sniping is if I'm going to snipe and I see that something like that's happening, I switch to another kit, you know. I think some of these guys get their sniper kit built up to such an extent that their other kits aren't built up, and so they just don't switch because they get their ass kicked, which is nothing wrong with that. If you like one kit over the others, you know, hey, great, have fun. Sometimes I think you at least need to have two kits kind of built up so that in case that happens, but they're definitely gamer dicks. There's no doubt about that. Okay, that's been Gamer Dick. Patrick, Guns Age, either of you got any shout outs for this week?
Guns Age?
Nope. Everybody's a fuckface.
Yeah, you antisocial dickbag. Just because you hate people, you could shout out your chair that you sit in. You shouted out your cat last week.
Oh, yep. I got to shout out my cat. I got him in the litter box. And he looked at it. He was like, meow. I was like, that's where you shit. And it took a few more seconds. He looked at me again and went, meow. Wait, no, that's where you shit. And I had to push him in it.
Wait. Let me get this straight. That cat's 9 years old and he's never been litter box trained? Is he an indoor or outdoor cat?
I got a brand new litter.
We got
two litter maids and both of them broke. Those things are a piece of shit.
I got you.
No.
Cats are kind of finicky about that. But otherwise, Basil, the achievement cat,
yes,
techno cat, is doing well and again this week.
Yes, it is. Second cat of Wonderpot. I think it should be.
He's all, I love you. Give me food. I love you. Give me food. I love you. Give me food. That's all he does.
Patrick, you got any shout-outs?
I have a shout-out. I'd like to give a pretty big shout-out to someone who goes by the name, we all should know him very well, by the name Whatever. Yes, that's the name he goes by, for those of you who think I've been sarcastic. Whatever is the original founder of the original Project Wonder Boy website all those years ago. He has returned as of late and is a big supporter of WonderPod. He listens to the show regularly and very often provides us with comments and feedback about each episode on the main page. He has also created an official or unofficial, whatever way you want to look at it, thread of WonderPod in the forums at the Morphine Nation, which has some comments from various fans of the show, and you should all check that out if you have time. So we thank Whatever very much for that as well. So we'll give a WonderPod shout out to Whatever.
I want to do a quick shout out to G because, what was it, two nights ago that we played Battlefield Bad Company, Patrick?
I think so, yeah.
Two nights ago, worked a lot, was really tired, was into Red Dead, and G sent me a message, hey, you want to play some L4D2 later? And I'm like, nah, man, I think I'm going to go to bed. You know, I'm tired. You know, I'll probably be on a little bit more, but then I'm going to go to bed. And you popped on, and I jumped into Battlefield. Well, just as we jumped into Battlefield, I looked, and it showed poor G sitting at the main menu of Left 4 Dead 2. I thought he meant like later in the night, because usually Gunsage, him and I play at, like, let's say 10 p.m. Pacific. Right. And I knew I wasn't going to be up that late. I was going to do the Canadian postie schedule of going to bed. You know, usually Patrick goes to bed at 10. I go to bed at 9. I don't think you were on, Gunsage. I didn't see you anyway. This was just two nights ago. So, G, we know you're a follower of the show. You always give us great comments. I apologize for that. And as soon as possible, we will get a game of Left 4 Dead along with Left 4 Dead 2 along with Patrick.
That's right.
You know, I should have been a little more specific, because, like I said, I felt really horrible when I saw that. But Patrick and I are already in a game of Battlefield. I'm like, ooh, I'm a dick. You know, so, G, I love you, man. Don't hate me too much. Okay. And on that note, if you'd like to send us questions, comments, insults, or whatever, you can do so at morphinenation23@gmail.com. morphinenation23@gmail.com. Until episode 22, I'm Lulu the Lollipop, and I am out of here.
Goodbye.
Who's that? Yeah. Meow, 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 meow.